This is Alan Wagner, welcoming you back to Living Opera. Our guest this morning is the brilliant baritone star of Metropolitan Opera Company, Robert Merrill. I don't think there can be any argument with the fact that Mr. Merrill's voice is one of the richest and most beautiful baritones in the history of opera. Mr. Merrill, tell me, were you always going to be an opera singer?
No, Alan. I don't think most kids born in Brooklyn dreamt of singing in the opera. Well, I did dream about it after a while, but I was born in the shadows of Ebbets Field, you know, and the shadows of Ebbets Field are slightly different than the shadows of the Metropolitan. So the prime ambition, that of course, for most kids born in Brooklyn was to be a ball player, and so was mine.
Well, that's very interesting. What made you turn later on in your career to opera?
My mother used to sing. She was very, very musical, had a lot of musical friends. And I heard a great deal of records, by the way, in the very early days of recordings, by the way. My father brought home every payday, which was every Friday, brought a record. Large, 12-inch thick RCA record, you know.
Caruso days. And
Caruso, Galatita Ruffo, and so on. And I guess the environment meant a great deal. But it didn't manifest until I was about 16, 17 years old.
Well, what would you say was the decisive factor that ultimately turned you towards a career in this decidedly hazardous profession?
Hazardous? No, I don't think it's hazardous.
You don't think so, really?
No. I think it's a wonderful profession. I think it's a profession that, of course, takes a great deal of time. Is that what you mean? A lot of study and work?
Well,
I guess every profession one wants to be successful and is hazardous. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I should think so. Yeah. Well, was there any particular thing that ultimately turned you to opera as a career? Was there any one item, a teacher perhaps?
Well, it was a performance at the Metropolitan, believe it or not. I went to hear a performance of Il Trovatore at the Metropolitan a good many, many, many years ago. I had just started to study voice seriously. And I was terribly enthused about it. I sat, of course, in the last seat, in the last row, in the last upper balcony at the Metropolitan. And I became terribly impressed and excited with the performance. And when I left the performance, as a matter of fact, to get into the subway to go back to Brooklyn, I made up my mind that this is ultimately what I want to do.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that your career has burgeoned to the tremendous extent it has, you've sung a vast variety of roles at the Met. We're involved now particularly in discussing the difference perhaps between French and Italian operas. From a singer's point of view, from the performers, from on stage, mm-hmm. what would be the difference in approach that you'd find between a French opera and an Italian opera?
Well, Alan, the approach isn't different. If you have studied singing correctly, if you have an understanding of the bel canto singing, of the relaxed, easy singing, it actually does not make a bit of difference what language you sing in. Although I will say that I prefer, of course, Italian. Perhaps I've sung more Italian operas than French, that's why.
Well, what role in your repertoire do you consider the most difficult, perhaps the most challenging, the one that's most rewarding to sing?
Well, if you ask any baritone, I'm sure most baritones will say Rigoletto. It does not let up, you see. There are four solid singing and dramatic acts. In many other operas, there are very difficult acts, very strenuous, but the second or third or fourth act becomes a little lighter, you see, and you can act. But Rigoletto is, you have to be, if I may use, on the ball all the time.
Very appropriate. Well, let's see. Here's another factor. You've sung at the Metropolitan both comic roles and the high tragedy mm-hmm. of opera. Do you find one easier to sing than the other or easier to prepare? And is there a difference in preparing for this kind of role?
Yes, there is. Most comic operas, of course, are the early operas which contain a great deal of recitatives, uh-huh. like Don Pasquale and The Barber of Seville. They are more difficult to learn for an American, I imagine, than an Italian, naturally. As far as performing is concerned, I enjoy both. I wouldn't like to sing all dramatic operas in one season. I like to break it up with the Barber Seville or Don Pasquale, which is very gay. A lot of fun.
Marvelous roles for you, too. I've seen you in both. Things.
Thank you very much.
This is well, you raised two roles in the course of this interview that I think have been significant in your career. One is Barber Seville, Figaro, and the other, Trovatore, Cantaluna. I think both these things have been wonderful for you, wonderful for the audience when you sing them.
Thank you.
Let's take Figaro on the one hand and Cantaluna on the other. How would you characterize Figaro? What kind of man is Figaro?
Well, Figaro is a gay, conniving rascal. with roving eyes, with eyes that are continually penetrating and dreaming of making money and what to do next and whom shall I see and so on and so forth. He's quite a rascal. And, of course, the Luna is the typical Italian baritone role of a villain, a very, very dramatic. And also, by the way, De Luna has, of course, his Il Balen, his scene where he is a man. He's a romantic, and he pours out his love for Leonora. So the difference is right there, you see.
This is a factor that I think would probably get me down if I were singing baritone roles. Sooner or later, everything you play is nasty. I mean, most of the time, they're pretty much villains, aren't
they? Yes. For some reason or other, the old boys that wrote those operas wrote for baritones as the villain and the tenor as the romantic. It's changed, you know, in musical comedy. For the Broadway stage, you know, the baritone voice is usually, as a rule, the romantic voice.
Have you sung much musical comedy?
No, I haven't. I've done excerpts from them for many years on radio.
Mr. Merrill, you're an American artist, and for quite a while in this country there's been a lot of talk about the American artist's place in the world of opera. Have you found this to be particularly a disadvantage or an advantage in your career?
Being an American?
Yes.
An advantage.
Definitely.
Oh, yes.
Very interesting.
Yes.
You didn't find doors closed to you because your name wasn't Roberto Merlini.
No, I fortunately, when I came to the Metropolitan Opera, Edward Johnson, who was an American, or he's a Canadian, but he's practically an American and a singer, realized that we had a tremendous amount of great artists here in America, and he made a special effort to find them. And I was fortunate enough to win the Metropolitan Auditions in 1945. Edward Johnson was in the process then of finding American talent. That was, you see. Of course, the war kept a lot of artists, of course, foreign artists from coming here, and there was probably a shortage. I guess that helped, too. I don't know.
Well, I think the voice is the thing that helped most. That the winning of the auditions, of course, was a tremendous break. Do you consider this the greatest break in your career?
Not the greatest, no. I don't think the greatest break. There were many, many wonderful breaks, I would say. But let me say this, if there are any young artists listening in. I don't wait for the break, you see. Fortunately, I was prepared.
Absolutely.
Breaks seem to come by themselves when you're prepared, when you have confidence in what you're doing, you see.
Well, that must have been a pretty exciting moment when they finally said that, Mr. Merrill, you're the winner and here's the contract. I imagine your career has been filled with exciting moments. Are there any particular that you remember with great pleasure?
Well, of course, when I was chosen by Arturo Toscanini to sing the Traviata in 1945. And it was quite a year for me when I made my debut that same year. It was two months before I sang it with Toscanini in the same opera, by the way, at the Metropolitan. So I guess I would consider my debut and my performance with Maestro Toscanini as probably the greatest things and something that I will always remember, look back at.
I think people fortunate enough to have heard the broadcast or own the recording might feel the same way.
Well, thank you.
How about your future plans, Mr. Merrill? Anything particularly exciting you'd like to tell us about?
Future plans? Well, my future plan for next season at the Metropolitan is singing a new role of La Gioconda, Barnaba.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Which I'm learning now. And I have a very, very busy season at the Metropolitan next season. I have 20 or 22 performances of Ballo in Maschera, Rigoletto, Gioconda, and Revival of Don Carlo, which I look forward to.
Very exciting. How about recordings? Any new recordings forthcoming?
I recorded The Chocolate Soldier. It's not opera, I guess. It's operetta.
Still,
it's wonderful music by Franz Lea.
Is this going to be released sometime soon?
It will be released in September, October with Theresa Stevens, and I am going to record The Barber Seville in September.
Wonderful.
So,
for Victor.
For Victor. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mr. Merrill, I'd like to express my sincere thanks for your taking the time to be with us this morning. I know your schedule is a very busy one. It's been a real pleasure and an honor.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure for me.